Welcome to Meeple to Meeple, uniting players around the world. A 30-minute exploration of PJ and Gareth's four-game experiences from across both sides of the Atlantic. Each episode, they share their thoughts and opinions on the world of board games, including their favourite themes, games, hot topics, and much, much more.
Hi, and welcome to episode 75. That's right, it is Blurple. You'll learn all about that. The Cajun invasion of the UK. As always, I am PJ.
And I'm Gareth.
And we are live together. All right. He is sitting to my left right now.
And he's sitting to my right.
Yeah.
PJ and Gareth.
I'd like to tell all of our listeners, Gareth is as beautiful a man as he looks like on computer camera screen.
I look thinner.
On camera.
Is that how it says? I can't remember what I say these days. But anyway.
I look fatter in real life.
Here we are. But you've got your hat?
Yep.
How many hats have you bought on the trip?
I bought 2 flat caps in London.
So very British.
Yes, sir.
You look good.
Thank you. So we have been here since Easter Sunday, which was March 31st.
So a week.
A week and a few days.
Yeah, a few days.
Yep. And we are live in the Meeple to Meeple Studios in Southampton, England.
Meeple to Meeple Studios.
Yeah.
Maybe I need a sign.
You do.
Yeah. It's a beautiful day. We had a bit of a windy storm in the UK, but that's cleared for blue skies.
It is, in fact, sunny right now. I can confirm that it does
sun. Blossoms on the trees.
Yeah.
Share the view.
It's so green here.
Thanks.
It's very green.
Yeah, it's going to get a lot of rain.
Well,
it's been raining for 3 years.
Not only that, we just tear down all the trees and just lay pavement and just, you know, make big parking lots or car parks, as I'm learning.
Car parks.
But we don't make you pay.
Traffic circles. It's a roundabout for our British friends.
So it's been crazy. It's been fun. So we hit the highlights of London, and then now we're here in Southampton, and
much more quieter, easier pace.
But it's real England, though. It's real, and I love it.
And we've done some sightseeing.
We did see some sightseeing.
Went to Winchester.
We did,
and saw the cathedral.
Gorgeous. What is it? 1100 year old.
Yeah.
So, the big takeaway for me, I think, that was really interesting when we were on the tour. At the cathedral, they walk us past the cathedra, which is the bishop's chair.
Yeah.
And they were talking about the current bishop.
Oh, yeah.
Is their 98th bishop of their diocese. And I'm like, you know, at work, we're just on number 9.
Yeah.
Yeah.
History.
Yeah. Yeah. It really puts into perspective how young as a nation we really are. But
we saw in the cathedral, there was some ground in board games.
Yes.
There was a 9-man Morris.
Right.
The monks had
carved into the bench.
Yeah, bench where they, their stone bench, which I took a photograph of, which I thought was quite interesting.
And so the tour guide was saying that, you know, you can imagine in the 11th century, the monks were sitting there playing this game, which is very foreign to me. I was not familiar with it at all.
I don't actually know the rules.
You don't know.
Like, in my head, it was like tic-tac-toe, but I'm not sure it is.
I was thinking it was like Othello.
Yeah, that was the other thing. Like,
you flip over the pebbles, black. Yeah.
These are kind of the rules.
But she didn't go into the rules because I don't think she knew them.
And she didn't know she had gamers in her presence.
That's true.
We were excited and she just left us hanging. But she was very nice. And then we went to Titanic Museum in the morning.
We did go to Titanic Museum. Where we saw a lot of great painted miniatures.
Yeah. And boats.
Yeah.
And death.
Yeah. If they would have let us touch the miniatures, we could have made a game out of those.
Yeah, there were a lot of boats.
Yeah, a lot of boats.
So that was good. And then we played some games.
We did. We played a lot of games. First game that Gareth and I played together in person
was
Let's Go to Japan.
The UK. Oh, no, Japan. That's so getting another spin-off.
Absolutely.
Which I've played every day since you've been here. On Thursday, I played it on Friday, and I played it on Saturday.
Wow.
Teaching it to various people. So that's been a good game. I'll talk about that in a minute some more.
So it was you and Carrie and Katie and I.
Yeah.
We played Let's Go to Japan.
And then we played French Quarter.
French Quarter.
Which is out of the same series as Three Sisters and Motor City.
Correct.
But is based on where, PJ?
The French Quarter in New Orleans.
Oh, what a coincidence.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
But I got to give you some historical and cultural context for the places.
Explanation on the whole
second line.
Yeah. it makes more sense. We had a much better game playing it full player.
And you learn that the key to victory is establishing your own personal second line.
I realize that dancing is the future, but you do get banned from doing everything.
You do
too much dancing. You are seen as a tearaway. You're sent to the police station, and you do need a second line.
Okay, so if you're, when you're playing French Quarter, it's 25th century games, right? That's right. That's a roll and write set in the French Quarter where you're 8 hours in an evening in the French Quarter and you're trying to party. And every location you go to, you get certain icons. One of them is dancing.
Okay.
And that advances you on the Bourbon Street track. And as you advance, there are negatives because Bourbon Street is dirty. There's lots of partying. There's a high police presence because it attracts so many people. And sometimes you can get yourself into a little trouble for partying too much.
Yeah, that's what happens.
But at the end, that's points. Where the huge points
it was,
are.
It was a multiplier.
Yeah, big multiplier. So that was French Quarter. That was fun.
That was good. And that was pretty much it for the first day.
It was.
Because then we took you to an Indian curry house in Southampton, where we met up with 15.
There were 15 of us.
Of the Southampton ball game crew.
I think the wait staff had like deer in headlights. Their eyes were just like, this party is so massive. What are we going to do?
Yeah, but we were sensible. We had John and Rachel. John from Trywin Games. So a lot of people arrived early for the games day. So
yes.
They rocked up. And then we had Heather and Dave.
Yep. Heather and Dave Dixon. Heather is about to launch.
23rd of April.
The 23rd of April. She's going to launch her game Apostocracy on Kickstarter. So be on a lookout for that. And she should be a guest on our show.
Before we get to that date. So
the next week or two. So a few weeks.
So they hang out with us as well. They came on the guided tour.
They did. They traveled from Texas.
Yeah.
Which is amazing. It was like Americans came all the way here to Heather's just delightful and her husband's wonderful. And
yeah, we had a good time.
Katie and I established a relationship with Heather through playtesting Apostocracy. And so she's like, well, I'm coming. And I'm like, great. Yeah, let's do it.
Just divert awesome. To Southampton.
Yeah.
So, and everybody else was from the Southampton crew.
Yep.
So that was Thursday.
You have a vibrant gaming community here in Southampton.
Yeah, I think maybe we don't always appreciate how lucky we are.
Yeah.
I mean, we all met through mostly through Instagram / COVID times, and then we meet all the time.
Yeah.
And then other people come out, hang out too. You know, they come all the way across that water.
That's how you do it.
We didn't need a boat, did we, in the end?
No, we did not need a boat.
We were going to hire a boat and just meet in the middle of the Atlantic.
That might still be the plan.
That might still be the desperation.
The Meeple to Meeple cruise.
And that got us to Saturday, Cajun Con. Which...
25 to 30 people by my count.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I think it was about 20. Yeah, somewhere in that region. Which I think I was expecting about 18. So at one point, I'm like, oh, we're going to need a bigger boat. But so, it was okay.
Yeah, that's an interesting story. So early on when you were in the planning of this, you were giving us a head count. And my wife had crocheted these coasters in the shape of meeples.
They're very popular.
Yeah.
I think you could put them on Etsy.
You could. Yeah. You could. In fact, I saw someone when we were in Nashville.
I think you said you'd already seen one of us put it on Etsy.
Oh,
you know,
no,
signed.
No, I did not see that. I guess she could have crocheted her signature into one of them and made it really valuable. But of course, she made a blue one exclusively for you because you play blue. And so she handed them out. And the plan originally was to give everyone their own. But then the number kept growing.
People bought friends, Gareth.
Yeah.
Not that they weren't welcome.
Yeah. So eventually it's like
Diz bought Dave.
Yep. And it was like one per couple at that point, right?
Yeah, but I saw them being used. They're on the tables.
Everyone had them on the tables
at one point. I had my
which is great.
My cider.
because the hall we were in, they didn't have coasters on the table.
No.
And you didn't want the condensation to mess up the board games.
So, yeah, they were good.
Yeah.
And I got some Nemesis
Christmas
scarves.
And hats.
Which I'll need to now find an excuse to bring Nemesis to table. So thank you, Katie, for those gifts. And the very handmade dice tray that Katie's dad has made.
Yes.
So thank you very much for those. Those
I think you really enjoyed the sound.
It's a good noise. It's a good noise. It's a good solid dice roll.
When we were playing French Quarter, because it's a roll and write, there were a lot of dice to roll. And it made a good sound against that.
It does make a sound.
Against that wood. My father-in-law knows everything about like cherry wood and oak. I mean, you know, all the different the characterizations and the nature of all these woods. And so it's like, if you want to make something, well, you need this. He knows which wood to use.
It's got a good knocking sound.
Yes.
But maybe in a minute I'll grab it and we can even make a rendition.
That's
but
a good idea.
I find dice, so I have to cut it and edit it. So what were your gaming highlights?
So
Who did you hang out with?
I hung out with a lot of people. So it's really interesting. We were it was 10:30 in the morning till 10 in the evening was the time of the official Cajun Con. And I socialized so much. Going back to French Quarter, where one of the icons is socializing. And in Let's Go to Japan, you could socialize. I did not get in as many games yesterday on Cajun Con as I expected. But the first one was a game I had played once before, and that is Terrorscape.
Oh yeah, I saw that.
By Ice Makes
Tell
Games.
Tell me more, because it looked really intriguing.
So it's a horror themed. It's one versus all. You've got this huge divider,
massive
in the
theater
table.
Of this house.
So it's like it's a manor house or a plantation home, whatever. And one person is playing the killer, and the other three players cooperatively are playing together as the survivors.
Okay.
So the interesting thing in this game is there are scenarios. So whoever the one player is, they could be the serial killer, they could be the ninja, they could be a ghost, they could be the butcher, the monster. So there's a lot of replayability. And then there's like 10 or 12 survivors that you can choose from.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of combinations. So we're running around the mansion. There's a map on our side of the board with our minis. We have a miniature for the monster. On the other side of the board for the one player who's the monster, he has a map too. But he can't see where any of us are.
Okay.
So when we move, sometimes we make noise. And this is similar to Nemesis.
Yeah.
You'll have a noise token you put down. So we get one action. And we have a list of what they are, but you can only take one. So we take our actions. When we're done, we draw two cards from the clue deck. We're looking for six keys and a map.
You're all working together.
We're all working together. And then when we're done, we have to tell the opposing player, the monster player, if we made noise and what rooms we made them in.
Okay.
Because he has access to that information. Yeah. And that's it. But he can hear us talking to each other.
So he's just tracking.
And he could see us moving as we reach to move our pieces. He could be like, I just saw PJ and it looks like
fake.
Oh, there's a lot of
wiggling over here, but I'm really wiggling.
There's a lot of fake, you know, and then you try not to communicate. So you try to do this. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And while we're making these humming noises, we're pointing at what we want to do, right?
Because
you don't want to give him anything. And so we came out victorious. It was Dan from Board Games Weymouth. Dan and Paige. I got to visit with them because they picked us up at the hotel and took us to Cajun Con. So we had some time to socialize beforehand. So I was able to dive into a game with Dan. And Dan had already said he was bringing Terrorscape, and I knew I wanted to play that again. It's
awesome.
Worthy.
It has an inbuilt dice.
There's a dice tower built into the manor that runs across the
2.5 foot by 18 inches, isn't it? It's a big bit of kit.
It's beautiful. It's amazing. And so that is Terrorscape by Ice Makes Games.
Was that a Kickstarter?
I think it was.
Yes. Yeah, I'd not heard of it until. No. I've never even seen it. I was like, wow, this
no,
is.
No, neither, neither had I. Neither had I. So check it out.
Yeah. And I've not met Paige and Dan before.
Yeah.
So that was a pleasure. I am sure we're going to see more of those guys.
You met a lot of new people, didn't you? Well, a lot of folks came in specifically for this that don't normally come to Southampton. Yeah,
so that was good. We got some new, and they're only an hour away. So
yeah,
I mean, that is literally Southampton.
So what about you? What was the first game you played, Cajun Con?
So we had Cassie stay here. So we played some games before we got to Cajun Con.
Oh yeah.
But they were just fillers. But we did get a game in of Enchanted Plumes, which is all about the feathers of a peacock.
It's a peacock.
Highly recommend.
Okay.
Just a card, drafting, playing game, trying to make the best scoring plume or plumes of a peacock.
I like it.
That was good. And we played Isle of Cats, Explore and Draw, because why would you set up the full game when you could just open a pack of cards in 10 minutes? Uh-huh. So that was that.
That's fair.
And then we got to Cajun Con and I played Enchanted Plumes again. So that cheated. But the first proper game we played was Kutna Hora.
Which, yeah.
Oh, no, only a few episodes ago. Episode 73 or 72?
I think it was 73. Yeah, we did an entire episode on Kutna Hora.
Got to teach that to Paige, Diz from the Southampton group, and her friend Dave, who had never played before either. So epic game.
Was that your first time playing it at four players?
No.
Okay.
I think three is a sweet spot still.
Three is a sweet spot.
But it was really close with five points separating us. But Paige got a win.
She did.
She did. And I think she said it's not the sort of game that she'd normally play.
Okay.
But decided just to focus on the mining and kicked.
Right.
Kicked ass.
Yeah.
So that was really good. So that was a bit of a beast of a game. And I find that at cons, generally, you don't get many of those games out because everyone's moving around. You want to play more games with as many people as possible. So that was a good couple of hours. Then I think we need a break for some food. So
there was a little break. Yeah.
Everyone brings their part of the lunch. So everyone ate bits and bobs.
So after we played Terrascape, I just started bouncing from table to table and visiting with people while they were waiting for their turn.
Yeah.
There was so many people there. And I'm meeting them all, most of them for the first time, and trying to get in FaceTime. But I got the pleasure to, well, we both did, got the pleasure of meeting Matt and Zara. Mazaza Games.
What an experience that was.
Just some of the most lovely people. Oh, gosh, it was so great just to visit with them. And visit them a lot. And they were like, they really wanted to teach us Kavango. Because they brought
with the final pre-production
something.
Yeah,
and we did that. We did that five player. So it was one of the. It was the only game you and I played together at Cajun Con. If I'm not mistaken,
it felt fitting that that was the game that was, we got in.
Right,
and I jumped in just to be about to start.
Right, so, as we're about to start, because Matt was going to play. And Zara were going to play.
It felt.
I'm glad you stepped in.
We should have played that game together.
That was good.
So it's got the new art.
New
it's
art.
It's got the new secret objectives.
New secret objectives.
It's got the player boards that now have the tuck-in mechanic. So if you do want to tuck your cards away, so they're all beautifully lined up like
beautifully
I did.
Beautifully lined
up. Or you can play on the other side, like the original, and they can just, be put on the
And then they just sit on the mat. They're not tucked into place. So a gust of wind or you tap the table or whatever. The cards can slide.
And I had them on the most. Everything just fell into place. So I've never filled the entire board apart from, I think, one space.
You did.
So had an awesome time. I think everyone built all of the developments.
Yes.
We'd filled up completely the...
climate change projection.
Projection. I think everyone scores all the animals. And I think we did play it with like kind of the, was it the beginner settings?
We did. We went back and forth between that.
We should probably have gone for medium or even hard with no money.
I
agree. We're seasoned. gamers.
I agree. So I would suggest that you go back and listen to episode 52. Episode 52. Wow. I was going through our list of episodes. That is when we had Matt and Zara on. That was back in September of last year. And they talked about Kavango before they launched.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, that game is fantastic. I got to play with my wife and with Gareth. Come on.
And Cassie.
And Cassie and Zara. Yeah. And then Zara stepped out and Matt took over. Yeah, so, you know, I'm happy to say I lost to the designers of the game.
I'll have to say that I beat the designers of the game.
You did. You got a special card
that says, congrats on getting the highest score I've ever seen. Lots of love, Zara.
Look at that.
Look at that. I've set the record at CajunCon.
But I'm going to get the real win.
You got a box.
Because I'm going to get the box. And I'm going to get Matt and Zara stay at my house for a week when they're in the States.
Yeah, that's what you need.
So you can have your little card with the card.
Yeah, I'll always be there. Yep. Whatever score was, let's put it down, 232.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, and I was down, near the bottom at 171.
I think it's still a pretty respectable score.
That's what she said, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the average winning score is 170 on the app we have.
Wow.
So, normally you would have... So
I was one above average.
The cards did come in. It was they just.
They really did.
They just it just worked nicely.
Well, I had a private goal of looking for the migratory keyword, and they weren't coming.
Yeah,
and so I just started I'm going to plague these animals because I love these animals.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, you know. So I kind of did my own thing, but that was Kavango. That was an amazing experience. Yeah.
And played. Really well at 5. We played it at 2.
Yeah.
There's hardly any downtime, apart from a little bit of admin when you're resetting your cards out.
Right.
Yeah. If you haven't backed it, is there a late pledge on this? I don't know.
You know, that's a good question.
I have to find out. We'll put that in the chat. We'll put that in the comments.
We'll let you know.
If not, I think it's fulfilling across the summer.
Mm-hmm.
So look out for it. The guys are going to be at Essen.
They will be at Essen. And they will be at PAX Unplugged.
Oh, okay.
In December. In Philadelphia. So that's when they're going to be coming to the States. So for our Americans, y'all look out for that.
Yeah, definitely.
Mazaza will be at PAX.
What else do we play? I didn't play many new to me games.
No?
In fact, only played one.
Really?
What did you play? I ended up teaching a lot of games. I played Jamaica, which is a really old game.
I saw you were playing that. I've never played Jamaica, and I was like, oh, but I was in the middle of something else.
Yeah, and we played it with what's the max play count? I think played it with six. Yeah, I played it with six. Which is just, it's like from 2007, as I learned from Jenny, who's played it with her kids a lot. It's a boat racing game around this island, looking to grab treasure. You have a deck of cards, you draw three, play one, and there's a morning action, afternoon action. And either you're trying to find food, you're trying to get gold, get your cannons for battling, and just survive by getting around the island. But every space you have to pay coinage, you have to pay different amounts of food.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't, you go back a space and you have to pay that space. If you can't pay that space, you have to go back again. So I think Gareth ended up just following us around the islands because the very first move, he went forward and went pretty much back to the start and just tagged behind us. But it was a lot of fun. It's lightweight. I mean, it's nothing, but as a group of six, at a con, it's that kind of game that it's not complicated.
No.
You get on with. And being an older game, I'm glad I've ticked it off my list. You played a comic game.
So speaking of boats, I just quickly want to talk about a game that I thought looked amazing. Neither of us got a chance to play. And that's Plunder. I don't know if you saw them playing it.
Yeah.
You do have a copy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That game is incredible. Yeah, you like pirates, and you have the hull of a ship, and you can enhance it, right?
Yeah,
you with put little sails, and,
and
kegs cannons, for crew cannons, members cannons, and cannons, and you're sailing around. I think at one point I walked up to visit with everyone playing, and your wife, Carrie, she had just played a card where everyone had to give her all their gold.
Yeah.
Just here, give it to me. Boom. I'm like, wow.
There's a few... Yeah, I mean it's got nothing new mechanic wise. It's a bit
it's beautiful
component wise.
Yeah,
it's a little bit of Catan because you're kind of collecting cards and trading.
Is that right?
It's a bit of dice rolling. So mechanically, it's nothing new, but production-wise,
it had a beautiful presence.
It looks great,
and that's what stood out to me.
But it is that kind of. I think if you've got new gamers or family and friends over, it's got so many mechanics they'll be used to.
It's just
a good family.
So it's accessible.
Good family game.
It's an accessible game that's a little bit more advanced than Catan, but it's similar enough that you'd be familiar
with it. But it has got awesome boats.
Yeah. No, yeah. It really does. So that is going to be the Meeple to Meeple Cajun Con honorable mention, Plunder.
That's a great honorable mention.
Right? It was really cool. Following Covango, there was, in the chat group ahead of Cajun Con, there were requests, many requests for, here we go, an Obsession tournament.
Yeah, who won, by the way?
Well, I don't think we didn't quite finish the tournament.
We were running out of time.
So essentially what happened was we had two games of Obsession going on simultaneously.
Both five players as well.
Ours was six player.
Oh, you played with the expansion.
We played upstairs, downstairs. Is that that's the only way to play?
I know, but that takes time with six.
Well, yeah.
That's why you didn't finish.
No, we finished our game.
But we
didn't finish the tournament.
So there are three games played, wasn't there?
There was.
So I'm thinking
we got two simultaneous
that didn't finish.
And the third game didn't finish.
Yeah.
My wife Katie won Obsession. She won our round, first round. I don't know who won the other game that Paige won.
So we need to get the scores. Then we'll know who the true Obsession champion is.
So I hope I know that Dan won a game of spots that he played, and I hope he won another game. Otherwise, Paige beat him 2-1. So there was a lot of Obsession going on. I did not do a British accent.
Didn't you?
I did not. Diz was very upset with me.
Yeah. You promised.
We did not. We did not dress up. No one dressed up. That was disappointing.
That's very British, though. I mean, we have good ideas, but...
No, I know.
Oh, no, I'm not really dressed up.
Yeah, but that's okay. So we played Obsession, and I don't think we need to say anything about it, because you and I have talked about Obsession.
Yeah. I think the table I taught, they was only Cassie had played before.
Okay.
So you had
a whole group of newcomers.
So we got them set up, and we only played five. So I didn't put the expansion in.
So what was interesting at our table, Matt and Zara played as a team because we didn't have enough players. So we had seven players, but we didn't have enough houses. So and Matt and Zara wanted desperately to learn Obsession. So we taught them.
That's right. I turned up at one point. I was trying to help them play a hand, but I had to go and play my other turn.
Yes.
So I left George in charge.
And then Dan was at our table, and he was playing it for the first time as well. So we introduced Obsession to a lot of new people.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah,
I think that's accepting.
Actually, once you got people who have at least two or three turns, people got it, because it's not complicated, but it is knowing those chains. And it is a satisfaction of managing the deck. And when Matt and Zara said, look at the hands, I was like, man, you've got 15, 20 cards here. I'm trying to find the pattern.
They had all these unwanted guests.
They had all the Americans.
Yeah, they did.
Big
they did
money.
It didn't help that the American was sitting across from them. But if you want to hear more about Obsession, go to episode 57.
Where we chat with Dan.
We chat with Dan Halligan, the designer, the inventor, the creator of Obsession. A world that you and I, it's dear to our hearts.
Now, if Dan had turned up to Cajun Con, that would have been a coup, wouldn't it?
Oh.
Imagine that.
Covango with Matt and Zara, followed by Obsession with Dan.
And then Heather's
game, Apostocracy, she had someone playing it. We've talked about it is set in the Victorian period, whereas Obsession's more kind of late Victorian, early Edwardian. So those are two complementary games. The goal is to find a third game, either a game set in the Regency period that you would start your day with, or something set in the early 20th century.
Too early, isn't it?
Rococo's too early.
Another one.
And that's France.
Yeah, I know, but I'm trying to find.
I know what you're saying.
It's historical.
So you play Apostocracy, you play Obsession. We need a third game to have a trio for a beautiful day. So there is a possible game set in the Regency period, connected to Jane Austen, and there's a little card game called Marry Mr. Darcy. I don't like it, so I don't have a lot to say about it, but I've played it, and I'm not really a big fan. That's because I'm not a big fan of Jane Austen and her literature. Not that the game is bad.
You went to Windsor Cathedral and you saw...
I did see the gravestone. And a house
where she died.
The gravestone of Jane Austen and the house where she died. You know, we're gonna see where she lived for 6 years in Bath.
Oh, yeah.
Because we're leaving Southampton and heading to Bath.
You're heading north.
We're going to go north.
No, it's not really north, is it? Well, it's up.
I mean, you know, it's north by an hour.
It's north by Southampton standards, which is pretty much as fast as you can get.
In terms of distance, what I have learned is that the nation of England is roughly the size of the state of Illinois. For our American friends, right?
It's a long way to drive if you have to leave.
It is. No, if you're going extreme north-south, but, you know.
Like an hour away.
Yeah, that is not. So, what did you play next? After the obsession.
I taught Let's Go to Japan.
You taught it.
Which is the third, three times each day I've taught Let's Go to Japan. Because it looks beautiful. The production is off the roof. But in essence, it is just a card game.
Mm-hmm.
But it teaches really well. Everyone always has a good time. And the best part is telling the story at the end of the trip you had.
Yes.
And yesterday I played with George and Lizzie and Jenny. And the number of times when we end up in the same place at the same time without knowing about it.
Oh, right.
Hey, George, I'm here. Wednesday afternoon. I'm at Wednesday afternoon. We're both hanging out in some garden. And then it turned out Jenny and Lizzie end up at a cat cafe on a Thursday morning. And I was like, nice. This is like beautiful.
Right.
So you kind of go, there's moments of just telling the story of what has been, I guess, planning a trip to Japan. But there has to be a version planning a trip to the UK. I mean, it's just going to happen.
That was easy.
It's just going to happen.
I could probably write the content for that after my 2 weeks
here. You could do at least a southern part of it.
Yes, I could.
Yeah, play Jamaica. And then we were just filling some time. So you played Hidden Leaders. Which is next to me here, which is about a couple of years old now.
It's a few years old.
You pick a side by giving a card, and then you need to manipulate your tableau or your table to end up with the winning side, but you can't see everyone else's cards, so you don't know who else is on your same team as you. Not team, but he's also looking to win. So you played that. It's only like a 30-minute game. But then we finished at the venue. I finished the game with Nine Tails Panic because in about 5 minutes we had to start packing up. and then that was the end of there. And then we played some games. So what did you ask you play before?
One last game at the venue. So before that, Cajun Con was like the seventh or eighth day in England.
Yeah.
Okay. Since we originally arrived. And I had finally fish and chips.
Oh, yeah, you did, didn't you? I mean, that's a big portion, right?
I think the portions would just make Americans stop and be like, that's too much.
Really? Well, that's saying something, isn't it?
That was a lot of chips. A lot of chips.
Yeah, I think those portions in there are designed for a family.
We're like a family of two. A
family of four.
Yeah.
And then people were buying one for themselves.
Yeah, because nobody warned us. Right, because
we haven't been there for a long time.
When you watch travel shows in America, whether on Netflix, whether PBS, whatever you're watching, right? You know, and they all go to London, they go to England, they get fish and chips. It's wrapped in like newspaper, it's like a piece of fish and some chips, and it's one person. And that's what I was envisioning. So my wife and I each got one, and we're like, "This is going to feed eight."
Yeah.
But everyone else in the building did the same thing. So clearly I was not, you know.
Well, Lizzie came back. She goes, I've got chips. And she'd taken her a plateful, and there was another whole bag. And I was like,
whole bag.
So anyway, I fed myself from Lizzie's chips.
So we ate, and then I don't know what happened to the waste, but it may have made it in the trash bin. But and then our good friend, meeting him for the first time, coming down from the Bath area, is Reese.
Hey, Reese.
That is at Robat Games. He and I had been chatting. He's been a long-time listener of the show and a big fan. And so he and I have been chatting a lot for like over a year. We finally got to meet, and he taught us Age of Comics.
Yeah. Now I came and sat and watched you guys play for 5 minutes.
That is a solid game.
Yeah. Medium weight?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it is, How did Katie describe it this morning over breakfast? It is a perfect, that's not the word she used, but she used a really good word because she's smarter than me and picks better words. But she was talking about how it is a fantastic, quintessential Ooh. Worker placement game. And the theme, it's so rich.
Yeah, it was good. From what I could see, everything was just like tied together.
That yeah.
I think they're teaching a bit about ink.
Yeah, you like develop better ink colors, developing ideas. You have writers and artists. It's just really incredible. You're a publisher of a comic book at a comic book house.
Did you finish?
We did not. No. We were one round shy. That's because at the end of the day, we had to pack up. So
yeah, it's 2.56. Not a bad guess.
No, it's a really, really good game.
Best play 3.
Thank you, Reese, for teaching
us. Yeah, he was a good teacher as well.
He's amazing.
He's good. I mean, A and B and C and D.
Yeah, I've never had a game that was taught so seamless and structured and just beautiful. The other thing I like about it, not only was this this quintessential worker placement, it had a Lacerda-esque feel. Like, you need to do action A before you can even achieve action B. Yeah. So there were actions that need action economy, I believe. Yeah. So you have to do this. They were step-by-step actions that needed to be done. And it was just a beautiful dance of publishing illustrated works. Yeah.
It wasn't tied to any comic.
There's nothing. No, it's tied to the golden age of comics in Manhattan, in New York, like the 1930s. Yeah. You definitely got that.
Yeah,
it had that pulp. That vibe. It's more pulp novel
than
comic books, the way we think about
them today. Yeah, I didn't see recognizable, but it all looked like, old school comics.
Beautiful, right? Those components?
It was lovely. And there's...
So those are the mastery. What I showed you, these heavy metal banners, were the masteries. So there's six genres. Mm-hmm. Science fiction, westerns, romance, horror, et cetera.
Yeah, yeah.
And so when you've published the most comics in that genre, you get that master tag, which gives you one more fan, which makes your comics in that genre more valuable. Mm-hmm. Therefore, more points at the end of the game. And they were just these beautiful metal, totally unnecessary in terms of game mechanics.
They were nice, weren't they?
I don't think I've seen complaints like that before.
I don't know what material they were made of, but it was metal,
It was metal. It was not like pewter. It was definitely not pewter. Yes, something like that. But that was the last game at the venue.
Yeah. Then we headed back to
hotel.
Where everyone seemed to be staying.
Yes.
Apart from Matt and Zara.
Yes.
And we played.
We had 11 people. We had 11 people around the table. And you introduced this game I had never heard of. Is it Wee Whimsical? Is that the name of it?
The full title
is
a game about wee whimsical creatures and trying to identify them after someone makes noises.
I'm sorry, that's the title of the game?
Yeah, in case you missed it. A game about wee whimsical creatures and trying to identify them after somebody makes noises. That's a full title.
And that is the description of the game.
That is description of the game and the title. It's a pack of cards. Bez is the designer. And you lay out 5 number cards. Lots of illustrations by Bez. And people draw a card secretly. They look at the number that represents that creature.
And it's a number like 1 to 5.
Yeah, 1 to 5. You can make it more complicated with more. Yeah. And then people sit there and make a silly noise. And we all had a go each. I think everyone had a go each. So a few people.
There were some abstentions.
But, you know, it's not for everybody.
Yep.
And there were some new creatures and some new sounds that we've never witnessed before.
Well, the reality is that these are drawings. These are original drawings by Bez.
Yeah, yeah.
And so they're not, they're based on real animals, creatures, and people. In fact, we found one that looks like me.
I was about to say, though, there was one that looked like you. I mean,
with like four legs.
Yeah, 4 legs.
And this really weird ear. With a cap, it would have been me. In fact, I think I held up the card and made the face that was on
the photograph.
Yeah. So thankfully, no one drew that and mocked me.
I had to make the noise of it.
But yeah, you have to imagine when it's your turn, you have to make the noise that you think this whimsical creature
sounds
sounds like.
Yeah, and you've got lots of teeth, lots of eyes, lots of beaks.
I'm distracted by the fact that you're doodling. And what I love about that is that when we're normally recording, when I'm back home in the US,
yeah,
I doodle like just like, so it means that we're both doodling. Yeah. It's just to see it. It's just like, wait,
just a concentration
thing. Yeah, which is perfect for Wii Whimsical or
Wii,
a game about Wii Whimsical.
But there's other games in the series, but they're like a fiver. It's a pack of cards. You packaging is literally
it's a Ziploc bag. Yeah. And
check out UK Games Expo. And Bezzy stand. She's always in red.
Yep.
Everyone is on red on the stand. And just so creative.
Is it Bez Games or
Bez? Bez Games. I'm trying to think of Instagram. Games? I think it's Bez Games on Instagram.
@Bez Games.
Yeah, I did tag. So check out my stories.
That's B-E-Z, right?
B-E-Z.
Okay, Bez Games.
I'm sure it's Bez Games.
All right, so check that out.
But yeah, those are really creative, silly games. And then the last game we played was a team game, because it was a lot of us there, was Wavelength. Which was fun. It was a guessing game. There's a card that says something easy, something hard, and then you spin the dial. Whoever's going to give the clue can see where this, I guess, scoring zone is.
Yes.
And they have to give a clue that leads their team to position the dial that's now hidden to where that score was. And there were some pretty good clues.
There were some really good, like
literally one, no error. On the mark.
On both teams.
Yeah.
The game was tight. I think it was like, it was.
We're down to 1 point.
At the end of the game, it was 6-6 and the tiebreaker.
I failed.
But you know, we're gonna tie this back to the very beginning of this episode, okay? Because I know our listeners are wondering, right? So this is how it happened. Where did the word blurple come from? So you and I were on the same team. And you were like, team we're the A team. No, at first you called us the A team.
They were the A team.
Oh, they were the A team. Telling them
that they are wrong. We're not the B team.
We're not the A team. And then you said, we're the blue team. Yeah. And I was like, no, we're the purple team. And then we both looked at each other and said simultaneously, Blurple. And so we decided that the title of this episode is Blurple.
Because it's a team game.
Team game. Yeah. So the beauty of a Cajun invasion, unlike a military invasion, there's not going to be an occupation or anything. It's more like a cooperative.
It's a team small skirmish effort. And then you live again.
Right. I don't know if this is, you know.
Guerrilla warfare.
Right.
So where are you going next?
We're heading to Bath, England. We are going to visit the Roman baths, ancient Roman site.
Beautiful.
Looking forward to that.
That is good.
I know probably people are wondering. I did cry when I saw the Elgin marbles.
Oh, it's cute, isn't it?
Well, I don't know that it's cute, but
it is.
I did.
Yeah, it's good.
It really brought. There were a lot of emotions I was not prepared for in London as a whole. Like, I had some really powerful connections to things that I didn't know I was going to have.
And, that's good. One was particularly.
Yes, I was touching. Looking forward to it. And so I'm equally looking forward to the Roman baths because, again, I dedicated so much time studying.
You'll like it.
I think I will.
The museum itself is really well done.
And we will finally go to a board game cafe. We did not go to any in London. We saw board games in bookstores, which is not uncommon in the United States. We picked up a board game in London. We bought Mind the Gap.
Yeah.
So for my American friends, that is the equivalent of Watch Your Step.
Honestly, I
much prefer, you know, when you're in the tube, it's like, you've reached Westminster Station. Mind the gap. And I'm like, I love that.
Don't fall down that
right. And so we picked that game up, but we haven't played it yet. But we're gonna try to go to Thirsty Meeple.
Bath. Oh, it's good. Yeah.
Our good friend Danielle Reynolds, the designer of Her Story, at Token Gamer on Instagram. She was in Bath last year.
Yeah.
She said you gotta go to Thirsty Meeple.
Yeah.
So
they're also one of my go-to places to buy games online.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
But they are.
So what do you need me to pick up for you while I'm there?
Not much. But they are, on a Friday, they've normally got this week's releases, and they often have a sprinkling of, like, Kickstarter things sometimes.
Oh.
And they're very reasonably priced. For what is a cafe, their online pricing is really on the money.
Nice.
So, Yeah, they enjoy. The Oxford, there's one in Oxford, there's one in Bath. I think there are others, but they're both excellent gaming locations. And then you're going to go visit.
And then I'm going to Daventry, and we will be staying.
Daventry, what a place to go.
Oh, yeah. You know, there's some really important people that live in Daventry.
The epicenter of important people.
The epicenter of important
Particularly
people.
Particularly if you're into Blood on the Clock Tower, which I know you're a huge fan.
Oh, yes. Huge fan. Huge fan. Absolutely. But we will be staying with Craig and Becky. Get Into Games and Mrs. Get Into Games, the host and co-host of Get Into Games On Air.
On Air.
A podcast that usually airs a day before us. So
yeah,
give them a listen.
Yeah, definitely give a listen.
You know, I might, I don't know.
You could do a podcast there.
We could do a podcast.
And if you time, I know, because this will go out.
No, because it's going to go out.
You got next week.
Yeah.
I don't know how their timings are.
I don't know. I don't know what Craig's plan is, but we're going to be there. And then Brad and Susie, so. My shelf life and games with Beanie are going to come and join us so that we can
hang out play with games. Guys.
Yeah, because I think they were on holiday.
Yeah,
they weren't able to make CajunCon, but so they're going to make it up to Dow. That's going to be fun. It's going to be a good time. Hopefully, we'll get to go up to Dicebox Cafe.
Okay.
Where I think Craig has been working.
And, oh, yeah, of course it is.
Yeah, so that would be fun.
And then you head home on
Friday.
What day is it today? Sunday.
So today is Sunday. Well, if you're listening to this, it's Tuesday, but right now it's Sunday while we're recording this.
And then when did you go back to work?
I'm on Monday.
Oh.
Monday, yeah. Well, you know what?
When have a longer rest.
When we're done recording, why don't you tell my boss?
I'll tell your boss.
She's over there in your living room. You can tell her about it afterwards.
Yeah.
Let me have some more time off.
Need to rest.
I do need to rest.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think she needs the rest.
She probably does.
Right? I can't remember if I mentioned it last week. In case I didn't, on Thursday, when we arrived in Southampton and we had dinner with everybody at the Indian restaurant, it was Katie and I's 15th wedding anniversary.
That's why you're here.
It is why we're here. Yeah. It's why we chose this time of year. It was to celebrate our 15th anniversary. So,
congratulations.
Thank you.
Stay patient, or something you think we discovered?
No, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I got the better end of the deal. I'm the lucky one, so yeah.
Have you worked out what your first game you're going to play when you get home?
No. There's so much you're craving for. No, there's so much That's good. Ahead of us still.
You forgot about your Frosthaven campaign.
I haven't forgotten about it. That's because good. So CajunCon yesterday would have been our normal Frosthaven day.
So you had your fix.
So for David and Eric and Vincent back home, thank you for your patience and letting us come to England.
That's all right. No, it's been a pleasure.
Yeah.
I guess we'll do this once a year.
We should. We should do this once a year.
It's a bit costly, but yeah.
No, but now you got to come to me.
Yeah, that's a good point. Good to come to you.
Yeah.
Via the Austin Grand Prix.
Via the Austin Grand Prix.
Yeah, it might not be this year, it might be next year.
Okay.
But it's a nice Grand Prix.
Yep.
So we should wave at the camera. Hi, everyone.
Hey.
And thanks for listening, everyone. And absolutely. Thanks for visiting the UK.
Thanks for having me.
Next five days left. 5 days left.
Five, yeah.
Safe travels.
Thank you.
And going out in Bath.
Yeah.
Dude. Checking out. Thanks, everyone, for listening.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Please subscribe. And as always, we love to hear your thoughts and ideas. So make sure to leave those in the comments. And don't forget, you can also chat with us both on Instagram @MeepleToMeeple.